Blog Talk Radio.
I just had to do the Macho Man Randy Savage because I'm so excited because football season is back.
Oh, yeah, it's here, man. Let's do it.
Thanks for tuning in, fans, to another edition of the Neek and Rudy Pro Football Talk Show. I am your host, Neek. Rudy Rules here with me, fans, tonight into the studio tonight. So excited. We got so much football going on. I'm looking at the left out of my eye, and I see Michigan's about to come on. We got Auburn, Oregon coming on, college football. I'm just so excited. That's why I can't stop.
You know, football is back, man. So, I mean, Neek, let's just get right into this show. We really don't have any time to delay. We have a lot of news what's going on in the NFL. Today's going to be our division winner show, our preview for the season show. So we will get right into that in just a second. But we do want to let you know what's been going on in the NFL. Right now, the fourth preseason games have just taken place, so we're really ready for the kickoff games, that full slate on Sunday, the 8th. Also, you got that Thursday night game. What's it, Bears and Packers, I think, this year, Neek. So, you know, that'll be on Thursday night. But, you know, what happens before the season starts, the first game on the 8th or Thursday, if you want to put it like that, and after the fourth preseason game, is people get dropped off. People get cut. People get released from the team. So that's what's going on right now, Neek. I want to run through a lot of these releases. You got anything to say on that?
Nah. I mean, this is just, you know, this is the season preview show for 2019. I'm just excited. I'm ready to get going, man. I know, Rue, we got to go through this boring, long list because a lot of teams, you know, today was roster cut down day. All teams are 53 players. So, Rue, break down. Let's hear some of these names.
All right, so I'm not going to give you a lot of the stuff from today, but just some of the more notable cuts that have happened over the last several days. You have Shane Reagan cut by Baltimore defensive end, former Bronco. Orlando Scandrick, the former Dallas Cowboy, getting cut. Luke Wilson getting cut by Oakland, the tight end. Thomas Rawls, former Seattle Seahawks running back, getting cut. Terrell Pryor getting dropped off, cut by the Jaguars. LeSean McCoy getting cut by the Bills. Brian Hoyer, backup for the New England Patriots, got dropped off. Josh Dotson got told to find a new profession as a, what was he, a first or second rounder a couple years ago? First rounder for the Redskins, for the Skins. We don't call them the Skins. That he got cut. He got dropped off by Washington. And then Demaryius Thomas got dropped off by New England. And also both quarterbacks, Geno Smith and Brock Osweiler. Neek told me also Barrett, I think, got cut by the Seahawks. So they're down to just Russell Wilson. So there's a lot of other news in the NFL. Neek, I want to turn it over to you to talk about Andrew Luck's retirement.
Well, before we get into that, man, you can't forget about the trades today, Root. I'm like, come on, you got to give him the trades. All right, go ahead, come on.
Well, we're going to talk about Andrew Luck, but let's talk about these trades real quick. These are just ones that they're fresh off the presses. Jadeveon Clowney to the Seahawks. So he gets traded from the Texans to the Seahawks. Like, we're going to have to sign his franchise tender in order to be traded. He was traded to the Seahawks for Barcavius Mingo, linebacker Jacob Martin, and a third-round pick. Also, Miami does another does a blockbuster trade and getting rid of Jeremy Tunsil. I should say that the Texans do another blockbuster trade with getting rid of Laremy Tunsil. And steals from the Dolphins go to the Texans for two first-round picks and a second-round pick. That seems kind of steep for just Tunsil, but you throw in steals in there, and it's still steep. And then the Browns also traded a couple undisclosed draft picks from 2020 and got Justin McCrary and wide receiver Tywan Taylor.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's crazy. Before we started this show, we was kind of talking about, you know, what we're going to talk about tonight's show. We know this was a season preview show, but it was just crazy. We're just sitting here, and then it just came across the screen, Tunsil. And it was funny because the word from the Dolphins locker room was that the players would revolt if Tunsil was traded. And the fact Lee, it actually happened now. He's gone. So what are you players going to do down there in the Dolphins locker room? Not going to do nothing. You know why? Because your jobs is on the line. You're just
still getting a check.
You're still getting a check. You just made the 53-man roster. We know it's going to be a long season.
It sounds good. We're going to strike. We're going to just say we don't want his money no more. Yeah, you're going to take that check.
It's going to be a long season in Miami. And let's just be real. This team is tanking. I mean, I understand Coach Flores is probably not going to come out and say that.
Tank for Tua.
That would be dumb of him to say that because he's the coach and he's going to want his players to play hard. But, yeah, this Dolphins team, and I know we're going to start off this show with the AFC East. I'm just going to say it right now, man, before I start talking about these Dolphins. They're going to go 1-15 this year.
Damn. That's a bad record, son. But, hey, Nick, let's transition, though. For real, man, let's talk about this Andrew Luck. You know, Andrew Luck retired at age 29 this past weekend on Saturday night, and I was kind of shocked. I was watching that Miami, Florida game, man, and I was like, wow, Andrew Luck just retired. I thought he might miss a couple games this year. I thought he might even go on, like, PUP, pup list, and miss, like, 6 games, possibly a couple games, but I didn't think there was no chance he was going to miss the season or end his career. Nick, what was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's crazy because when I saw it, the news came out, I was just sitting there thinking to myself, damn, Andrew Luck at 29? But then when I saw the press conference he had, he came out, basically just pulled a Bernie Mac and said, I'm tired. My body very weary.
He said, he's tired, boy.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. I mean, you know, Andrew Luck, basically, this is for like this. I feel like Luck is going to come back probably within a year or two. I really think so because I think he just wants to step away for right now, let his body heal a little bit. He's still 29. He's taken a lot of shots over the year. I understand this Colts offensive line is the best he's had, but he still hasn't healed for those injuries the last couple years just from the beating he took when he first got in the league. But I think he's going to come back. This Colts team, they're right there in the hunt. I mean, this was my sleeper team to go to the Super Bowl. Actually, I'm not going to say the Super Bowl, but they had a good shot to get to the AFC Championship game this season with Luck if he was going to be starting this year. But since he retired, like I said, we're going to talk about this AFC South here in a little bit. I got to change my mind. I don't see the Colts going that far this year. They're talented, but we'll touch on that in a little bit.
Yeah, for sure, man. I mean, definitely, like things are in flux for the Colts. I was about to say RIP Andrew Luck. It's almost like people are like he passed or something, man. He's going to live a good life. He got his 100+ million, and Colts said he had to give any money back for not completing his contract, so he'd be all right either way. But I think he may come back as well. I agree with you on that. Nick, I'm going to go through a couple more signings from teams, and then a couple more cuts. We'll go back to Browns news. The Browns did cut Jalen Strong. He didn't make the 53-man roster. Not a big surprise there. Happened earlier in the week. The Browns also traded for what could potentially be a starting right guard with Wyatt Teller trading with the Bills. They do trade a 5th and a 6th round 2020 picks for a 2021 7th round pick and Wyatt Teller. Kansas City signed Matt Moore to be a backup to Patrick Mahomes. And then also we got the Patriots. They made a lot of moves, especially in their cut, but they also signed Scooby Wright. Wanted to mention also that the Raiders signed Corey Leggett. One other thing I wanted to mention, we can maybe touch on this at a later point too, but has been mentioned about possibly shortening the preseason from 4 games to 2 games, and now they're talking about extending the playoffs possibly instead of going to maybe an 18-game regular season. Nick, we've touched on this topic quite a bit already, but I mean, what do you think about the extension of the playoffs? That might be the part we haven't talked about.
Yeah, I mean, I actually like the extension of the playoffs, especially the wild card. I mean, if you look, let's look at the history. Last 10 years, there's been a couple of those years where teams finished 10-6 and didn't make the playoffs. Winning record 10-6, didn't make the playoffs. So if they shorten the preseason by 2 games, actually, I'm going to put it like this. They should just get rid of the preseason and just have these teams scrimmage each other, you know, or have joint practices. I mean, I think that would be perfect, joint practices. Yeah, I mean, I hear you, Rudy. Rudy's over here shaking his head. I like that idea right there because, let's be real, preseason is just a waste of time. Teams are not even starting their players. I mean, they're not even dressing their starters. I mean, it's just a waste of time. And then these other guys, they're getting out there trying to showcase their talent, like Daniel Jones. Yes, I'm a Giants fan. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I believe Daniel Jones is going to be the truth. But he's looked good so far this preseason, but I'm going to pump the brakes because he's doing it against the number twos and number threes, a bunch of guys that are about to be applying for a substitute teaching license.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about Daniel Jones today, but, I mean, just really quickly what I wanted to mention, Nick, I think the solution to this is the two preseason games, 18 regular season games, expand the playoffs from 12 to 16, you'd be good to go. Voila. So, Nick, let's go ahead and get into this, man. What we think on going to the AFC East next season? I just want to start off, man. I think the first team that we usually go over in the AFC East is the Buffalo Bills. Just quickly mentioned that they went 6-10 last year. We mentioned that they just cut Shady McCoy. Neat. You know, we talked about in past shows some of the things they did. Like with, I think one of the bigger things they did was wide receiver Beasley. You know, getting him in the slot to help. Josh Allen. So, what do you think about what the Bills can do as far, especially record wise, this year?
I mean, bottom line is this. Bills are a 7-9 team or maybe 6-10. Yes, you upgraded the roster with wide receivers. You know, John Brown has speed. Cole Beasley, yeah, he's a good third down target. You know, can move the chains a little bit. I like the Tyler Croft pickup, you know, who they got from the Bengals. Offensive line, Deion Dawkins. You know, they picked up Mitch Morse. That's a good pickup there in drafting Ford. On the defensive side, I do like Ed Oliver. I think that defensive line is the strength of this team. Linebacker core is still solid with Edmonds, Alexander, and Milano. Secondary, I do like Tre'Davious White. I'm not a big believer in Levi Wallace. We got to see what he can do, and I still like Hyde and Poyer back there. But with that being said, this team is 6-10 or 7-9. They're going to play hard. They're going to give teams their best week in and week out. But they are 6-10, 7-9.
I mean, when somebody shows you who they are, believe them, right? So, I mean, the Bills, like I mentioned, they went 6-10 last year. They're going 7-9 this year. The Miami Dolphins. The only thing about the Miami Dolphins is we can't say that they've got better. So, they went 7-9 last year. Depart Adam Gase. You know, he left to go to the Jets. You have Laremy Tunsil, for example, leaving. Kenny Stills leaving now. Kiko Alonso, we didn't mention him. He got cut by the team. So with the Dolphins, you know, obviously they've got rid of really a lot of their best players, bringing in Josh Rosen, but he's not going to be the starter. Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter. So with the Dolphins, man, I mean, you go ahead and break them down, Neek, but I don't see any higher than 5-11. 5-11 is the ceiling here, folks.
There's nothing to break down. When you trade your franchise tackle on roster cutdown day, that's enough to be said about your upcoming season.
Are they the Philadelphia 76ers?
I'm just saying. Let me preach one more time. Let me say one more time, and let me back up from the microphone, because I know some fans that are listening in the car right now, like, they're coming through the speaker a little too strong, because that's how I feel right now. I'm just speaking the truth. When you trade away your franchise tackle on roster cutdown day, and the players have already talked about revolting in the locker room, if you trade away this man and you do this, I understand you picked up two first-round picks and a second-round pick. I get that. But let's just be real. Ryan Fitzpatrick is starting as your quarterback heading 2019 season.
We've seen a bridge quarterback, but what's it a bridge to? Is it to Rosen or is it to nothing?
Listen, we've seen enough of this Fitzpatrick magic show. He appears here on stage, live in Vegas, sold out show. He balls that. Oh, what a show. Did you see that Ryan Fitzpatrick magic show? Great show. But then you come back a week later. I'm so excited to see this Ryan Fitzpatrick magic show. Damn. I mean, is this the same tricks I saw, I've heard about? I mean, that show's a disappointment. Exactly. So when I look at this Dolphins roster, there's a little bit of talent, the receiver position, Parker, Grant, Preston Williams, Albert Wilson. I mean, but then the offensive line, who's going to be starting left tackle? We don't know with Fitzpatrick. Oh, man, it's a murder show, horror show.
Yeah, so, Neek, I mean, we already mentioned, man, like, I know for me, I don't see the Dolphins winning more than five games. If they win six, I mean, you know, big up to Flores, but I don't even think that's happening. So let's move right on to the Patriots. You know, the Patriots usually own this division. Basically, this division is their bitch. So last year, the Patriots won 11-5. This year, I mean, I see 12-4 from the Patriots. I really can't see where they've downgraded or degraded. I mean, you know, see how the receiving corps is kind of shaking out with, you know, Gordon coming back in place. That's really going to help this team. And I think they got everything they need to, you know, basically be run based and to let, you know, James White and then, you know, Sonny Michel be able to do their thing on the ground, you know, help Brady in. You know, you look for him to have some numbers like maybe 28 touchdowns, 12 interceptions on the year. You know, nothing crazy. That's why I never put Brady in, you know, my top few fantasy QBs. But, you know, he just gets the job done and wins.
Yeah, I mean, for the Patriots, this is my Super Bowl pick right here. I mean, this team is loaded every year. Brady's back. The usual cast is back. I mean, I'm not too gung-ho over Demaryius Thomas being released today as a big loss to Brady. I mean, he's still working his way back to trying to be healthy from that torn ACL and those bad knees. But when you just look at this team, man, I mean, the offensive line is back, yes, losing Andrews, putting him on season IR, on injured reserve. That's definitely going to hurt because Andrews was one of the best offensive linemen on this line, him and Brady been together the last few years. But on that defensive side, lots of young talent over there. Shelton stepping his game up. He's going to be a beast in that middle. Linebacking core still intact. Gilmore still intact back there in the at the cornerback position, one of the best corners in the game. And then, like I said, man, I'm going to tell you right now, fantasy guys, listen to Neek right now. You want a sleeper maybe in that 6th, 7th round drafting or maybe later than that or a free agent pickup on the free agent fantasy wire waiver pickup, take Jacoby Myers. I'm telling you, Jacoby Myers right here is my sleeper. He's going to do his thing this year. People going to be like, damn, who's this Jacoby Myers? Neek said it on August 31st, 2019. Watch out for Jacoby Myers.
Hey, finishing off this division with the Jets. Jets had a, you know, a podunk season last year, 4-12, but they do have young Sam Darnold who's on the come up. I say for the Jets, 8-7-1 is the record I got them, you know, slated for. I think Le'Veon Bell is going to be a huge addition. Plus, they got the help on the defensive side, specifically with the middle linebacker position. So we'll see what the Jets can do. Like I said, 8-7-1, kind of pulling out a tie there in the record. You will see this team be much improved from last season.
Yeah, Jets are going to be improved. But when, like you said, man, I mean, Darnold, I'm still not a believer in Darnold. Le'Veon Bell, we got to see what he's going to be looking like. He's been away from the game for a couple years now. You know, the receiver core, Anderson, Iwanua, Crowder, Bellamy, that don't really, you know, that's not really explosive receiving core, offensive line, Beachum, Osmele was a great pickup for him. That defensive line is pretty much the strength of this team, but losing Avery Williamson to a meaningless preseason game where he tore his ACL, once again, they need to get rid of preseason games, just eliminate them all, joint practices. Like I said, I'll keep saying it over and over again. That's a big blow to this linebacking core. And then I love the safety tandem of May and Adams, but the cornerback position, Tremaine Johnson, and he's going to have to bounce back this year because he was a disappointment last year.
Hey, so we're going to move on to the AFC North. Neek, I know I had the Patriots win that division. It sounds like you're probably on the same accord. All right, so in the AFC North, based off of what the Baltimore Ravens did last year, they won this division, went 10-6. This year, I got them going 7-8-1. The Baltimore Ravens, I mean, obviously, you know, one of the things they're going to be is a run-based, you know, defensive team, especially with Lamar Jackson now at the helm, who definitely the question in his game is passing. So he said, you know, he's going to do a lot less running and a lot more passing. One of the things we do know is Baltimore Ravens were the second leading team in rushing last year, but they were also the leading team in terms of fumbles. So maybe they do want to move away from the run a little bit more and pass. But can Lamar Jackson pass efficiently and effectively in the pass game? Brought in some new toys you know, Hollywood Brown in there to assist in the pass game. But the Ravens will only go as far as his efficiency can take him. I got the Ravens going 7-8-1 this year.
Yeah, I got the Ravens 8-8. And sorry about that, Jets fans. I got you guys going to 7-9 as well. Sorry about that. Yeah, I know you don't want to hear that, but I had to get that off my chest. Ravens, Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's up to him, man. I mean, we know he can do with his legs, but he's got to show me something with his arm. And the NFL is a very competitive league, and defenses are smart. I mean, teams are pretty much going to figure this guy out. Chargers did in the playoffs last year. I like to pick up a Mark Ingram receiving corps there. I just feel bad for those guys because they got a lot of speed, but can Lamar Jackson get them the ball? Defensive line, you know, the Ravens always load on the defense side of the ball. The defense is what's going to keep them in games. But once again, I got the Ravens going 8-8.
All right, now we got to move on to the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, the Cincinnati Bengals went 6-10 last year. For the Bengals, you know, it's kind of the same thing every year in the offseason for the Bengals. They don't do a whole lot. You know, mostly they focus on resigning their players. They don't usually do a whole lot through free agency period or, I mean, with the draft. For example, this year, their first-round draft pick, I think, is Jonah Williams. He got hurt. So he will be missing the whole season. That's really a bummer or a drag to the Bengals. Also, you look at A.J. Green coming into the season. He was actually practicing in Dane's Welcome Stadium and had a seemed like a badly sprained ankle. It's more what it seemed like, high ankle sprain. He'll be missing at least first 4 to 6 weeks of the season, which is, again, that's terrible. Bengals went 6-10 last year. This year, I mean, they're not going in the right direction, 5-11. My question for the Bengals is Andy Dalton, your future quarterback going forward. I don't think he's that guy.
Yeah, I got the Bengals going 7-9 this year. What's going to hurt them is A.J. Green's going to be out first 6 weeks. You know, when you look at the receiving core, they do have Tyler Boyd and John Ross. They do have weapons there. But that offensive line, man, when you go into the season with Cordy Glenn, Michael Jordan, Trey Hopkins, John Miller, Bobby Hart, you got the Red Rooster Rocket standing back there. Hopefully being protected by these guys, man, this ain't the A-team. I mean, this lineup right here is pretty pathetic, man. And I know Zach Taylor, he's first year coach. This is going to be big growing pains for him this season, but I think the Bengals will play hard. Once they get AJ Green back, they will hit their stride a little bit, but linebacker core, not sold on it. That's the weakness of this team along with the offensive line. I got the Bengals going 7-9.
Yeah, man. I mean, for sure, I can see the Bengals going 7-9, 5-11, 4-12, somewhere around in that area. But now we got to move on. Cream of the crop, the class of the division, these Cleveland Browns. Damn, Chuck! Yeah, for sure, man. You know what I'm saying? These Browns this year, really, they got to put it down this year. They went 7-8-1. That was not 500. Obviously, we see they're making progress in the right direction after going 0-16, damn near 500. But this year, man, we got to take it to the next level. Obviously, we know what we did in the offseason. There's not only OBJ, but then there's also, Olivier Vernon. There's Sheldon Richardson. There's what we did in the draft. Young guys like Greedy Williams, Mac Wilson, who I loved in the preseason. You know, and then you got to look at the second-year guys like Chubb and Baker. And then, you know, the cornerstones of the franchise, like Myles Garrett. So even though this team was under 500 last year, I say the sky's the limit. And this is the year that they have to make the step up to just really take over this division and win this division and really just show everybody that this is their division to win for years to come. My record, I didn't make an actual prediction here, but I did say they will have 9.5+ wins. So I guess that puts them at about 10 as a minimum. So all I got to say is that is go Browns.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I look at this Browns team. I can't call them the cream of this crop of this division. Yes, on paper, they're the most talented. But once again, when Greg Robinson is your starting left tackle going into year two with Baker Mayfield as your franchise QB, he's supposed to protect them. I'm still not sold on that. That's going to be the weakness of this team all season long. So with Greg Robinson as your starting left tackle, Mayfield will be throwing some interceptions because he'll be running for his life on that side. But rest of the team is loaded. Like I said, this team has so much talent, most talent on paper in this division. I have the Browns winning this division, going 10-6, and Browns will be in the playoffs.
Sounds like we both got the Browns win this division. We're going to move right along to the Steelers, so it's kind of anticlimactic here, but it's all good. Steelers went 9-6-1 last season. This year, I got them going 9-7, which actually I think decreases their record or knocks it down by half a game. But, I mean, still a solid season. Obviously, we know what they got in terms of Juju Smith-Schuster, whether he can step up to that role and be comfortable in the number one receiver spot, and then also what they did on defense with acquiring Devin Bush in the offseason through the draft. So, I mean, the challenge is in for the Steelers. They got the Ravens and the Browns to deal with in this division. But like I said, I think me and Nick both mentioned that the Steelers will take a backseat or a second, you know, role to the Browns in this division. So, you know, I'm ready to play some football.
Yeah. Well, before the show, I was saying that I think the Steelers are going to struggle this year. I'm actually going to change my mind. It's going to come down between the Browns and the Steelers this division. I also have the Steelers winning 10 games this year, and I think the Steelers are going to get the playoffs because when I just went back and looked at this roster, I said, yeah, the big question is, well, Juju, is he ready to be number one wide receiver this year? That's a big question. But they have a lots of weapons, still have one of the, they actually have the best offensive line in this division on defense, man. They're younger, they're faster. Secondary's always been the issue, but Hayden, he has to stay healthy for the full season. But I love the pickup of Steve Nelson from the Chiefs and Justin Lane, who they drafted in the draft from Michigan State, and Sean Davis and Tremaine Edwards. They're actually going to be back there once again. you know, so last year for Evans, it was his rookie season, and Davis his second season. So with both of those guys together, I think they're going to be much improved. So I think these Steelers are going to go 10-6 this year. I think they will finish second in the division. Both games are going to be competitive against the Browns, but Steelers will make the playoffs.
All right, Nick, let's go ahead and run through this AFC South, brother. Last year, the Texans, man, they went 11-5. I got to make it an improvement this year coming up. They're going 12-4. Let's not forget about what they just did in terms of a trade, getting Laremy Tunsil and then also Kenny Stills, who's almost going to be like a bonus or a sweetener in that deal. You know, he might be the receiver they needed to help DeAndre Hopkins. Obviously, they still got Corey Fuller. But you know, I think that the Texans, I mean, I think that the sky's the limit for this team in terms of winning this division. That is who I have winning this division is the Texans. 12-4, they also got Duke Johnson. I know Lamar Miller was hurt, but I think Duke can really help on what they're trying to do as far as that read option type of look, especially a guy that can catch it out the backfield or, you know, run it every now and then if Deshaun doesn't run it.
Yeah, I mean, that trade today actually helps the Texans quite a bit. I mean, Watson is jumping up and down with joy. He probably went to the amusement park today. He's probably so excited, don't know what to do with himself. He finally has a franchise tackle that's going to protect his side. We already know about, you know, they drafted Titus Howard. With him now, you can move him over to the right side because he's definitely upgraded over Central Henderson. So the offensive line looks pretty decent now. Actually, it does. Defense line still got questions, man. Watt and Merciless, they're still in there. Reader's still in there. Carlos Watkins, I know they drafted him in the draft as well, but I still not sold on the secondary, man. Jonathan Joseph, he's up there in age. He's going to be starting Roby and Colvin, and then that safety tandem of Reed and Tayshaun Gibson, man. I'm sorry. I don't see the Texans winning no more games than 8 games this year. I think they're going to go 8-8.
All right, 8-8, wow. So, I mean, somebody's got to win this division, Nick, so we'll just move right along. The Indianapolis Colts, last year, they was 10-6. We already told you about Andrew Luck. That was huge, man. That's big news. I mean, that's really franchise-altering. My guess for the Colts this season is 6-10. Andrew Luck was a franchise quarterback, you know, Hall of Famer. We can have that debate on another show another day, but he was definitely a franchise quarterback. And I can't say Jacoby Brissett is that. We don't know. We didn't really mention earlier that Jacoby Brissett is going to be taking over, but he is. So that's the guy who the Colts are depending on to lead them to the playoffs this year. Now, I think they might battle for the playoffs at some point this year, but 6-10 obviously is not going to get you there. So that's where I think that the Colts will end up. Obviously, a solid all-around team, but I think without having that Pro Bowl caliber quarterback, in fact, I don't know if Brissett is really a top 25 quarterback, then that's the difference.
Yeah, it's so much unknown with this Colts team now with Brissett at the helm because you don't know what you're going to get for a full 16-game season. Plus, we don't even know what the backup situation is looking like with the Colts. We know Chad Kelly is going to be missing the first few games due to suspension, and he actually has a lot of talent. But like I said, there's so much weapons on this team. I can't see this team falling off too bad. But I think they're going to go 9-7. 9-7 could win this division. But I'm sorry, man. It's just the quarterback position, and this is a quarterback-driven league. And Brissett, you're just too much of an unknown for me, so I can't pick you guys to go to playoffs this year. Sorry.
Nick, at this point, I want to know who you got winning this division. But the Jaguars went 5-11 last year. Jacksonville, third team in this division. This year, you know, with Nick Foles, obviously that's the big addition for this team. But you got to look at some of the other small stuff, man. You got to look at the way this team is set up on defense and the way they just continue to add to their defense. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, it's really going to be nasty what I think the Jaguars got to unleash on opposing teams' quarterbacks. So I definitely see an improvement in their record. I got a tie coming somewhere along the way. But the Jaguars going 9-6-1 this season behind Nick Foles. And I think the real big challenge for the Jaguars is going to be able to have Leonard Fournette and Nick Foles both on the field for at least 15 games together. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think this team is going to thrive, you know, in spite of that.
Yeah, and I'm actually going to pick the Jags to win this division. I'm not too confident in this pick, but at this point right now, Foles, if he can just eliminate the turnovers and play with a chip on the shoulder, because a lot of people are thinking he's not going to be able to get the job done in Jacksonville because they just don't trust him as a full 16-game starter. I get that. I understand that. But this Jags team is so talented. The receiving core is still the biggest issue. Telvin Smith lost. He's sitting out this year. That's going to be the big question mark. I know Miles Jack just got his big extension today. He's going to be motivated, excited to go. But this Jags team is loaded on that defense side. I think this defense is the best in this division. And therefore, I almost say the Jags win this division. Oh, man, I hate to say it. I'm going to give them 10 wins. I don't want to give them 10 wins, but I'm going to give them 10-6.
All right, give them 10-6. Wow, that's love. I had about the same record, so I can't say anything. Tennessee Titans went 9-7 last year. In fact, they went 9-7 the last 3 years. This year, you know, Tennessee is a real physical team, man. You know, I think Mariota is the I think the creek is coming to its tributary. It's coming to a head. It's basically there's a fork in the road, and you got to decide which way to go. Obviously, you know, they brought in Tannehill to spell him. Should he, you know, miss any time due to nagging injuries or anything like that? That could be the way this team goes, you know, for the next several years. Mariota, I don't know if he's going to be the guy in Tennessee long term. Actually, I like Mariota. He's a versatile player, not a great or a very accurate passer, but I don't see this team ascending this year. I see him taking a small step back. They're basically a 500 team, but going 9-7 over the past several years. This year, 7-9, taking a small step back. Nick, what do you think?
Yeah, they're not going to do anything this year because Marcus Mariota, who's supposed to be your franchise QB, is not a franchise QB. He's a bust. He can't stay healthy. Tannehill will take over this season, get the Titans back on track, lead them probably to a few victories. This Titans, like I said, they're loaded on the defense side of the ball, a lot of talent over there. They're a smash-mouth team. They like to grind. They're going to win games ugly. But with that being said, Marcus Mariota starting the season as your quarterback, he won't finish the season as your starting quarterback because it will be Tannehill's team heading it into 2020. Titans will go 7-9.
Smash mouth, likes to grind, sounds like me, ladies. All right, but let's move along to the AFC West. Neat, the Denver Broncos last year, they went 6-10. Nick, I ain't got a lot of love for the Denver Broncos because they signed Joe Flacco. It's not just because of that. But the only reason, only thing I'm trying to say is I see them going 6-10 again this year. Not a lot of improvement, not a lot of changes. I mean, obviously, one of the bright spots for this team is you have that amazing pass rush with Von Miller and Bradley Chubb. That's going to be something I think this team, I think between those two, they're going to have at least 35 sacks this year, which is amazing. But other than that, 6-10.
Yeah, Denver Broncos, anytime you got Captain Check down, Joe Flacco, it's time for his ass to retire. He's your starting quarterback heading the season, and the future of Drew Lock has actually went on injured reserve, so you have to wait for him 2020. So with that being said, the defense is loaded over there on that side of the ball. They'll keep them in a lot of games. I think the Broncos probably win about 7 games this year. I see the Broncos just because they got so much talent defense side of the ball going 7-9.
Hey, that sounds good, bro. But yeah, the Chiefs last year, I mean, they went 12-4, won his division easily. Actually, they go 13-3. Maybe they did go 13-3. I'm sorry about that. But this year, I see the Chiefs going 11-5, taking a small step back. I just think really what Mahomes is going to do kind of is just come back to reality a little bit. But we'll see what Damian Williams could do to step up in the run game for the Chiefs, especially for you guys looking for a fantasy running back. He might be a sleeper out there. But, you know, as far as, you know, Kelce and Hill, You know what they're going to do. You know, they're going to do their thing. Sammy Watkins, you already know Patrick Mahomes is going to do his thing. I look for him, instead of to having 50 touchdowns like he did last season, closer to 30 touchdowns, the Chiefs win this division by far, have a great season, but just come back down a little bit.
Yeah, offensively, this team is loaded. It's going to be them and the Patriots, number one, two offenses competing this year for the best offense in the NFL. Chiefs, like I said, they added more speed with Hardman, who they drafted in the draft from Georgia, more speed to burn. I know DeAnthony Thomas is going to be suspended for the first game, but that's still not going to matter. I know they're playing the Jags opening game. But this team has just way too many weapons offensive side of the ball. Defensively, I still have my questions about them. Getting a lot of shootouts, high-scoring games this year, but the Chiefs going to win this division. I have them going 12-4.
Hey, same thing with the Chiefs. I think with the Chargers, as far as coming back down to the pack a little bit, last year the Chargers, they were definitely 12-4 last year. They had a great season behind Phillip Rivers. You know, he's one of the all-time great quarterbacks in this league. To me, he's definitely going to be a Hall of Famer. I don't care what Nick says. You can't take that away from him. Don't worry about how many Super Bowls he's been in. But the Chargers, I see him going 8-8 this year. You've already seen, obviously, questions not only Melvin Gordon, but then also Keenan Allen, you know, questions about health, things like that. And the receiving core, both of the receivers, guys like Antonio Gates, you know, basically done at this point. So it's kind of a transition time, I feel, for this franchise, even with the aging Phillip Rivers. So look for this team to be more like a 500 team this year.
Yeah, man, that's big, man. I don't see that happening. Yeah, I know there's a lot of questions with this team, especially with Gordon. But also, what's his name's going to be out for the first couple months. What's the safety's name again? I forgot his name already.
Derwin.
Yeah, Derwin James is going to be out first couple months. But there's still too much talent, man. This is one of the best defenses in the league. I mean, with Bosa and Ingram over there on that side, you know, Gordon's going to be out. Eckler's going to be getting a lot of the carries. But I kind of feel you, though. I don't see them 12-4. I actually see them 10-6, maybe 9-7, but I think the Chargers are going to get in as a wild card.
Yeah, so last team, I'm going to let you go ahead and touch on them. I'm just going to mention the record. Raiders went 4-12 last year. It's pretty boo-boo. One of them four was against the Browns, so I really can't say too much. This year, I see the Raiders making a small, increase, 5-11, maybe 6-10. Nick, I'm going to let you take it away with your Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, I love my Raiders, but this year, don't love them this year. I love them in 2020 because we have two first-round picks next year.
You like the Las Vegas Oakland.
Yeah, I'm going to love them next year. But when they get, it's all about Las Vegas, baby. When they get to Vegas next year, they'll probably go 11-5, 12-4 next year.
And they're going to hit the slots.
Yeah, well, yeah, they're going to do that as well. But this season, Raiders have the hardest schedule. I mean, it's murder's row. Like, I'm not even going to run through the schedule. It is so tough. I mean, there's a lot of questions. I think this team is probably going to go 8-8, 7-9, just with a lot, you know, on the offense side of the ball, we have so much speed. Antonio Brown, playmaker, he's going to get his carries. But on the defense side of the ball, I mean, he's going to get his touches on the defense side of the ball. We're just so young over there, and those guys got to gel together. So this roster is looking good. It's an upgrade over last season, but we're still one more year away. I say the Raiders, 8-8, 7-9. And on that note, fans, we got to go to break. And when we come back from break, we're going to go into the NFC Conference and break down the NFC Conference division by division. See you in about 2 minutes.
Oh, my God. I'm here to introduce Bustified. Bustified is a highly effective spray that is used for former first-round picks and high-profile free agents whose play on the field was just highly ineffective. Bustified is also used for players who
got dropped
from a team and the NFL. Now, fans, imagine if you can take a can of Bustafy with you to a football game and use it on your favorite player who's not producing. That would be red. And ladies, if you can always keep it in your purse and use it when some lame guy is trying to holler at you.
Welcome back, fans, to the edition of Neek and Rue Pro Football Talk Show. This is the 2019 NFL season preview. We just finished the AFC Conference. We're going to wrap up the show with the NFC Conference. So let's start with the NFC East. You know, I got to touch on my New York Giants. I know fans just said, oh, man, you just talked about your Raiders. Yeah, I'm a Raiders and Giants fan. My Giants this year, I don't know what to expect because you look at our roster,
And it's like, who in the hell are these guys at wide receiver? Golden Tate's out first four games. And it's funny because that's how the roster was last year, the last five games when Odell Beckham went out. But for some reason, we put up 30 points a game. We didn't do that all season. So with that being said, Eli likes to spread the ball around. When he has to force it to a superstar is when he struggles. So with that being said, I think the Giants going to be very competitive this year. Lots of talent. This is the best offensive line we've had since our Super Bowl run back in 2011. Not saying we're going on a Super Bowl run, but I think this team right here can be 8-8, 9-7. But if we get out the gates and struggle right away the first 5 weeks, and Eli's really struggles, revert back to bad Eli, beginning part of the season, Daniel Jones will be seen in the field pretty fast.
So, Nick, both of your teams, you said 8-8. 7-9. I think you even said 9-7 for the Giants. Did you say that?
Mm-hmm.
Both of your teams are going 6-10, Nick. Giants went 5-11 last year. I move on to the Dallas Cowboys and teams that compete in this division. Dallas Cowboys went 10-6 last season. This year, Nick, 12-4, man. I know that you got Ezekiel Elliott holding out right now. Obviously, Jerry Jones seems to believe a lot in Pollard. We'll see what Tony Pollard can do, who they drafted out of Memphis. But, you know, all that being said, you know, you got to look at re-signings like Jalen Smith. You got to look at, you know, Dak's production, his efficiency. You know, since he's been in the league, you got to look at the coming back of Witten. And I think that this Dallas Cowboys team is really – and then, you know, obviously you can't forget about the Marcus Lawrence. This Cowboys team is the class of this division. And I think they will have this division in hand for some years to come. And I think their only competition foreseeable future will be Philly.
Yeah, I don't see them 12-4, but they will. I don't know. I'm tough. It's tough because when I look at the Eagles, it's all about Wentz. Can he stay healthy for the full season? If he can, I think the Eagles will win this division. I still got to see Wentz healthy for a full season, but I'm actually probably going to have to agree with you, man. I see the Cowboys winning the division. I don't see 12-4. I see probably 10-6, 11-5. Yes, they are loaded on both sides. I got to see more from Dak. I'm still not a Dak Prescott big believer. I got to see what he can do this whole season before I actually start really believing this guy. And yes, I know people are saying, you still don't believe in Dak? Nah, not yet, man. I'm still not sold because I know he wants to be paid $40 million a year.
Bruh, I'm not trying to tell you that I think Dak Prescott is one of the top 15 quarterbacks in this league because he is not, period. But should he get $30 million? No. Should he get $40 million? Of course not. But that's what quarterbacks are going for now, and I bet you his contract is not going to be less for no less than $30 million a year.
All right, and let's touch on the Eagles, man. And this division between the Cowboys and the Eagles, I think, like I said, if Wentz is healthy, Eagles win this division for the full season. If not, Cowboys win this division. The Eagles, yes, they are very loaded on the offensive side and the defense side of the ball. Still don't trust that secondary. I know Malcolm Jenkins is still the leader, still one of the best in the game. But that corner situation, Darby and them guys, Jalen Mills, I can't take those guys. I can't trust them. So with that being said, Eagles, they will make the playoffs if Wentz is healthy. I have the Eagles going 10-6.
All right, Nick, I don't even know if I talked about the Eagles at this point, but they did go 9-7 last year. I actually have them going 10-6 as well. You mentioned, Carson Wentz staying healthy. I mean, obviously that's a big key for them, major key. So we'll see, you know, what's going on with that, whether Wentz can be the one that's actually, you know, leading them through the playoffs because they're going to have a problem basically if he's not because it might be Josh McCown. That would be, like I said, a problem. Obviously, got this team going in the right direction after going 9-7 last year, improving their win total. The Washington Redskins, I believe, is the only team we haven't touched on this division, went 7-9 last year. Got off to a real strong start behind Alex Smith. Alex Smith got his leg broke off, probably his career ended. So that's probably that with that. Obviously, we bring in Dwayne Haskins, Case Keenum, Colt McCoy. Didn't have his leg broke off, but broke. So he's coming back as well. So you got Case Keenum and Dwayne Haskins competing. Case Keenum's going to start the season. The Redskins, because of that, man, Case Keenum's starting the season. Case Keenum's a backup. I always say about backups are who we thought they were. And when somebody shows you they are, believe them. Case Keenum's a backup. They're starting a backup to start out the season, 5-11 for the Redskins.
Yeah, the one thing that's going to keep the Redskins in games this year is that defense. The physicality of the defensive talent on this side of the ball, Redskins side of the ball, I mean, it is, woo, it is brutal. Man, especially that defensive line, and then you draft Monte Sweat, put him in nickel pass situations on third down. He's going to be getting to the quarterback, and then you bring in Landon Collins in that secondary. He's going to be loading up the box, man. Woo! You're going to be in the for a bloodbath when you take on that Redskins defense. But besides that, that quarterback position, I'm not sold on. Dwayne Haskins got to show me some. Case Keenum, come on, man. Let's stop messing around. And then that receiving core, Josh Doxkins, man, he got released because he didn't do nothing for him. They don't have nobody at the receiving position.
For you, man.
They don't have nobody at the receiving position. And Jordan Reed, one of the best talent of tight ends in the game, but he just can't stay healthy. I'm sorry. So, Redskins, I have them going 6-10, 7-9.
Yeah, same here. I mean, Neek, one of the things I wanted to just say about the Redskins real quick and Case Keenum, I wanted to say about Case Keenum, man, that year that he had for Minnesota was avarition, bro. That was an anomaly because, I mean, don't expect production like that. Chicago Bears, NFC North, man. I think the NFC North is going to be a hell of a battle this year. The Bears won it last year at 12-4, but, Nick, I see them coming out to the pack big time this year. 7-9 for the Bears, Mitchell Trubisky's development, you know, not what they wanted to be. Offensively, I think losing a guy like Jordan Howard is a big factor. You know, they have the scat back still. There in Chicago and Cohen, you know, see what he can do. Obviously, he's still got that great defense, but I don't think Chicago's going to be winning this division, bro. I think it's a two-man race, but not Chicago.
Yeah, it's all about the growth and the development of Mitch Trubisky. Is he ready to take it to that franchise QB level? Yes, we saw bits and pieces of it last year. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love the young kid, Cohen. Back there, and I love the pickup who they drafted, David Montgomery, in that third round. So, that you know, they have a lot of speed on that offense side of the ball, especially at the receiving position, Anthony Miller and those young guys over there. But on that defense, this defense is sick, man. It's nasty, but the biggest loss for them is going to be the loss of defense coordinator Vic Fangio. He's gone. I know a lot of people saying, ah, man, you can bring another coordinator now. I'm telling you, Vic is one of the best in the game. They losing him is definitely going to set them back a little bit. So I think the Bears are going to go 10-6 or 9-7. I'm going to say more of 9-7 this year. That defense is going to keep them in games, but I'm still not a believer in that offense. So we'll see.
Yeah, man. I mean, it'll really be, you know, up to those guys, like I mentioned, like a Tariq Cohen, like a Tyler Gabriel, see what, you know, they can give Chicago, see how far that team goes. But next team I want to mention in the division, NFC North, Detroit Lions, went 6-10 last year. See them taking a small step back this year. Matthew Stafford is the constant. He's the staple of that franchise. Man, to me, you know, Matthew Stafford, you're going to laugh at this, Nick. Matthew Stafford's put up Hall of Fame numbers, period. Lions go 5-11 this year. Obviously, Matthew Stafford never had any playoff success. Rarely, you know, got into the playoffs maybe once or twice. So that's kind of where this team always fizzles out is, you know, where they approach 500 or possibly get above it into the playoffs, they really can't advance. So, you know, I just look for this to be the cellar dweller in the division. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. 5-11.
Now, I don't see the Lions 5-11. I see the Lions actually going 8-8, maybe 9-7. I mean, they have some pass rushers on the defense side of the ball. When you look at that defensive line, Robinson, Mike Daniels, who they picked up. You forgot about Mike Daniels. Damon Harrison in the middle. Okwara, who they brought over from the Giants. He had contributed with 7.5 sacks. Then Trey Flowers, Deshaun Hand. I mean, this defensive line is loaded. They're going to be getting after opposing offenses. And then on that offense side of the ball, it's all about Marvin Jones. He has to stay healthy for a full season. We know about Kenny Galladay. Danny Amendola is going to be a nice little fit for this offense. And then the tight end position, you know, T.J. Hockenson is going to help out as well because they haven't had a tight end, strong tight end play in a long time. So with that being said, I see these Lions going 9-7. But let me get to 9-7 or 8-8. But let me get to these Minnesota Vikings. This team will win this division. I'm telling you right now. I want to apologize last year, and I know that Vikings team, Mike Zimmer and them, those boys want to apologize for a disappointing last season because I thought these Vikings were going to do something last year. They're going to be pissed off, hungry. Everson Griffin is back. He's focused, motivated. He's not going to be going AWOL, nothing like that. This year, that defense is going to be hitting, and this Vikings team is loaded. I think this team is going to win a division with a 10-6 record.
Vikings barely 500 last year, 8-7-1. I do got them going 10-6. Obviously, Kirk Cousins' second year there, you know, being the franchise guy, they're getting all the guaranteed money and the big bucks. We'll see what he can produce. He's still got his twin wide receivers, you know, the twins there, and Stephon Diggs and then Thielen. So, you know, those guys are going to come through for him. Obviously, Cook, you know, a big, big factor on, you know, his. I do got the Vikings going 10-6 in this division. Moving on to the last team in this division, I think this is who the division winner is, in my opinion. The Packers, they went 6-9-1 last year, not very good. Obviously, with the Aaron Rodgers dealing with some nagging injuries this year, I think they'll go 11-5 and win this division. The Packers, to me, is the team that you have to look up to in this division, even though they weren't 500 last year. Obviously, you always have to worry about that arm of Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, you can never count out Aaron Rodgers, but losing Equanimous St. Brown was a big blow to this offense. That definitely is going to hurt. Jimmy Graham, where you at, man? You got to step up, man. This should be the year where, excuse me, where you should have 70 catches, over 1,000 receiving yards. Come on, Jimmy Graham. Man, I'm calling you out on this show. But defensive side of the ball, this team is loaded. It's Darius Smith, who they brought in. Adrian Amos, who they brought in as well. They are loaded on that defense side of the ball. Also, I can't forget about Preston Smith. But it's going to come down between the Packers and the Vikings. I think the Packers are going to get in the playoffs as well. I see the Packers going 10-6 as well, but I think the Vikings are going to win the division.
Hey, so let's move right along to the NFC South. Neek, I'm going to come right in with the team that I think is going to be the runner-up in the division, likely still qualify for the playoffs. Possibly, I think it's going to be between them and the Vikings. Talking about the Atlanta Falcons, they went 7-9 last year. Don't sleep on Mr. Matt Ryan. Don't sleep on Julio Jones. Also, you know, this team is deep, you know, when you look at some of the guys they got coming back, especially from injury last year, like Safety Jones. So for the Falcons, Keanu Neal. So for the Falcons, you know, I think that they're a team that really has a chance to win this division, make a big turnaround. Again, 7-9 last year, 10-6 this year coming up.
Yeah, Falcons, this is my wild card team right here. I think they can get in. And like I said, I know I'm going to keep going around these teams saying 10-6, 10-6, this and that. Yes, I believe a lot of these teams are going to be going 10-6 and 9-7. But this Falcons team, they're returning a lot of their key players on their defense side of the ball, like Rudy touched on. Neal's coming back. And he's going to be hungry, ready to go. The safety position. Offensively, they are loaded. The question mark, can those young tackles get ready to step into the line of fire and keep Matt Ryan upright? But other than that, Devontae Freeman, man, I know he's going to have a bounce back year as well. Defensively, can they get after the quarterback? That's the big question. Grady Jarrett got his money. He's going to be stopping the run, stout in the middle. But can my boy Vic Beasley get back to a dominating season he had a couple years ago? So with that being said, I think the Falcons can go 10-6 or 9-7. I don't think 9-7 is going to get you into the wild card, but it's going to be 9-7 or 10-6.
All right, Nick, we're going to have to go through the NFC South kind of rapidly here. Carolina Panthers went 7-9 last year. This year, I don't even know. I gave them some love. I gave them 8-8 this year. I think that Cam Newton obviously was dealing with injury, shoulder pain last year. I don't think he's coming to this season, you know, completely healthy. We obviously know that he's not seemingly leaving that game in a walking boot. But, you know, he's likely going to start week one. I don't think they should have played him in the preseason. One of those arguments against the four-game preseason. But, you know, I do think that they have Christian McCaffrey. I think this defense has always been solid under Rivera. So I got him going 800, but not enough to get the playoffs here.
Yeah, Carolina Panthers, man. I look at them 8-8, 7-9. It's all about Cam Newton, that offensive line. Defensively, the front seven is going to be stout as ever. But it's all about Cam Newton, man. Can that offensive line keep Cam Newton upright? And I feel like, you know, they haven't done well by Cam Newton. I mean, he's a franchise QB. They still haven't had a complete offensive line.
They got
seriously. Yeah, and receivers? No, I mean, you know, Curtis Samuel, he's going to have to step up.
I know you're sitting here saying they ain't got no receivers. I think Curtis Samuel have to step up. There's going to be a lot of McCaffrey. You know he had over 100 catches. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Their receiver and their running back. So let's move along, man. The NFC South, the New Orleans Saints, they won this division last year, 13-3. They're going to win this division this year, 12-4. Obviously, you know that, you know, from last season, they were one PI, basically, away from going to the Super Bowl again. You know, against the Rams. So that's kind of where we're at with the Saints, that they're going to be right there at the end, you know, every year. So that's what I'm expecting from this year. Drew Brees, going to go out on a strong note. This is not his last year. Maybe he's got another one left in him. Love to see Drew Brees play as long as we can, but that is the reality of the situation. But at the end of the day, the Saints are going to win at least 12 games this year.
Yeah, I think Saints are going to win the division. I don't know about 12 games. The only reason I'm saying that, they still don't have that number two receiver. Jared Cook was a big addition. He's going to help out in a tight end game. You haven't had a tight end since Jimmy Graham left. But I don't see him going 12 wins, 13 wins this year because, like I said, that number two receiver, man, they got to get somebody developed into that number two receiver, but they will win this division. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I can't get so hype on the preseason, man. I saw that offensive line was just terrible, struggling against that Browns, man. And Jameis Winston, he looks lost back there, and no JPP for the first 6 weeks. Yeah, Bucks, I think they're going to go 6-10, maybe 5-11. Mike Evans, he's good for fantasy.
Yeah, I mean, 5-11 for the Bucks last year. This year coming up, 6-10 at best. Jameis is going to be there all year. Is that a good or a bad thing? We don't know, but we know, just like Mariota, he's probably not the answer as far as your franchise QB. So for the Buccaneers, move along. Try to find your next guy, man. You got to move on at some point. NFC West, the Arizona Cardinals, big story there. Obviously, Kyler Murray, 3-13 for the Cardinals last year under Josh Rosen and why I keep forgetting this guy's name? The former Oklahoma quarterback, Sam Bradford. I keep forgetting his name. So behind those two, is Bradford even in the league at this point? He shouldn't be. It doesn't matter. The Cardinals are going 5-11 next year with Kyler Murray dealing with the growing pains of being a rookie QB in the NFL. This team's going to struggle. I mean, a guy that I look for the Cardinals to make a big impact, Keen Butler, rookie receiver, hurt, broke his hand, going to miss most or all of the season. Things just not looking up there. David Johnson going to have to step up. Larry Fitzgerald's probably going to retire after the year saying, I'm not down for this rebuilding project. So this team's got a lot of work to put in. But for this year coming up, don't expect them to win 6 games.
Yeah, Cardinals, I think this season they're going to be 5-11, 6-10. Kyler Murray will make a few SportsCenter highlight additions. He will be probably in the top 10, definitely on that on SportsCenter. But other than that, the offense line, still terrible. Defense, they have some pieces in the front seven, but just not enough. Hakeem Butler's out for the year. Larry Fitzgerald, he'll finish career on a high note this season. But other than that, Cardinals, it's going to be fun watching Kyle Murray on SportsCenter. Move right along. Seattle Seahawks. It's going to be very interesting to see this defense, especially the pass rushers with Ziggy Ansah on one side and Jadeveon Clowney on the other. DK Metcalf, who was Rudy's talking about, keep your eye on at the receiver position. And I think the Seahawks, man, they could be hanging around that wild card position when it gets late in the season. They could go 9-7, maybe 10-6. But I think they're going to finish second in this division.
Hey, so for the Seahawks, since you wanted to jump to them, bro, last year they were 10-6. I had them as 8-8, man, prediction for next year, but that was right before that Jadeveon Clowney trade. I say that the Seahawks go up to 9-7 with that trade, man. You know what the Seahawks are about, man. They're about Russell Wilson going out there with me and you, Nick, and basically playing 7-on-7. He doesn't even need an O-line. He just needs a center and just drawing up some plays in the dirt. And Russell Wilson running around, make some plays, man, get the job done. But, yeah, the Seahawks 9-7 for the record there. We'll move right along to the Los Angeles Rams, went 13-3, won the division last year. They'll win the division this year. 11-5 is my prediction. Obviously, you got Jared Goff. Obviously, you have, Robert Woods. You have Cook. But the big thing for the Rams is going to come back this year is Cooper Kupp. You still have, the bruising running back and Gurley. But that's what the Rams represent, as long with the solid defense, and they still got that. So, again, they'll be winning at least 11 games and a division this year.
Yeah, Rams going in this division. Clay Matthews, man, watch out for him on the defense side. By he's gonna probably have 8 sacks. People are like, "What, Clay Matthews?" Yeah, yeah, he's gonna excuse me, he's gonna have probably 8 sacks. Gonna be rejuvenated. Rams win this division. San Francisco 49ers, Jimmy G. I just don't know about the Jimmy G show. I gotta see more. I know he's coming off that torn ACL. But 49ers, they're going to be more competitive on the defense side of the ball. I just don't know about Jimmy G for a full 16 games this year. 49ers will finish third place in this division. They're going to go 6-10 or 7-9.
Nick, not sold on Jimmy G, man. We have not seen this guy stay healthy. We have seen him consistently throw interceptions. You know, obviously they have some depth at the running back position when you talk about a McKinnon, you know, and some of the other guys that they got, but none of really which have panned out thus far. So for the 49ers, I think that they really going to struggle to compete in this division, but I do see them going 7-9. So folks, this is our prediction show for the season, our division winner show. So we will bid you adieu, tell you thank you for tuning in, and everybody enjoy the start of the NFL season. God bless.